Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Take your Bible, turn with me, please, to the book of Acts as I preach God's word to you. I'm going to read from the New King James for those in the booth back there. Acts 9. It's the last service tonight for Eagle River. And they are no longer going to be located at Alaska Industrial Hardware. They are driving 10 miles down the road and moving into our brand new facility on Muldoon Street. And I'm really encouraged by that. And I thank each and every one of you for those of you that gave towards that. And there'll be other opportunities as well. Acts 9, verse 10. Are you ready? You can stay seated. We've been standing a long time. Just stand up on the inside. And now there's a certain disciple at Damascus. His name is Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision. Everybody say that. The Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire the house of Judas, one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. Imagine that. And in a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias. I mean, this is crazy. So Ananias gets visited by the Lord. And he has a vision. And in the vision, the Lord says, Ananias. And he says, yes. And then the Lord says, go to a street called Straight, because there's a man who's had a vision of Ananias, you. I mean, it's pretty awesome. And what's also amazing is you never hear from this guy ever again. This is the only time he's mentioned. Man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. The context and background is Saul of Tarsus, breathing murderous threats, led to go bring those who followed the way, those who were Christians, into persecution. And while he's on the road to Damascus, he's blinded, hears the Lord. God speaks to him, calls him. And so now he's in Damascus at the house here, house of Judas, and his Paul, but his name was Saul before he took his Greek name, Paul. So his Hebrew name is Saul. What's his Hebrew name? Saul. What's his Greek name? Paul. So he's Saul here, but he becomes Paul, the great apostle. And he's blind, verse 13. Ananias said, Lord, I've heard about this guy. I've heard about this man. How much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority of the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. So he's come to persecute, and he knows it. Everybody knows. The church is going to get persecuted. But the Lord said to him, go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name. You know, there used to be books out that were written about how to grade someone, you know, your relationships with people, how close they were to coming to Christ. All those books are stupid. Because no one knows unless God gives you revelation. Because people seem like they're close to giving their heart to Jesus, and it's amazing to me that many of them never do. And then there's other ones that are just junkyard dog mean, and they get gloriously saved. And here's someone who's a persecutor of the church. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you? I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. He's persecuting the church, and Jesus takes it personally. Listen, if you mess with Pastor Karen, I will mess with you. Why is that? She's my wife and my bride, and I love her and I care for her. Do you know the church is God's bride? So you just want to be really careful about talking about any church. And we've been talked about. I've had pastors call me over the years and say, you know, I need to repent to you. And I'm like, really? They said, yeah, you don't know it, but I've been talking trash about you ever since you got here. That happened. That happened a couple years ago. A leading church said that. And I thought, well, I forgive you. Can you go talk to everybody you talk to and tell them we're awesome? I didn't say that, but I alluded to the fact that it did damage. And And you know, God will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. And we see some of that reaping. But may God have mercy on and compassion on every one of us. So here's a murderer who gets gloriously saved, and he becomes a set man. He becomes a notable man. Saul becomes Paul and writes 3/4 of the New Testament. I'm telling you, there are divine appointments. There are people, listen to me, there's people all around you in your life that are 3 days blind waiting for you to go talk to them. You move forward in this prayer. You let this time of prayer and fasting, you let God write them on your heart. You soak them in prayer. Has anybody ever heard of prayer evangelism? Raise your hand if you've heard of prayer evangelism. Awesome. A few of you. Eduardo Savoso in Argentina, a great Argentinian revivalist, along with others, had an idea that if you would pray for your neighbors, they would do these 21-day fasts. They would pray and fast for their neighbors 21 days, 40 days. They did a lot of crazy things there to reach. I can't remember the leading city in Argentina. Maybe some of you know. Buenos Aires, thank you. And so they did this prayer venture. They prayed, and after they prayed, they would then go visit their neighbors, knock on the door, and say, "Hi, we're praying, and we want to pray for your home. What would be the most important, biggest thing that you'd want God to do?" And they would say things like, "My grandmother has cancer. I need finances." They would say all the different things that you might say. I mean, what's the 911? If you punch 911 right now, what would it be? What is the number one 911? God, do this. Oh, God, what is that? I just thought of mine. I'm not telling you. So they went around and they did that, and they collected all of these prayers, and they brought them back to their life group. They brought them back to their small group, and they began to pray that in these homes. And they had a couple leaders and people that were from the neighborhood, and they began to pray. And they prayed over. They marked the house. They registered their prayer requests, and they prayed for 21 days, all of the different prayer requests around. At the end of 21 days, they went back. They knocked on the door, and they said, "Hi, do you remember us? We prayed." They said, "My grandmother has been healed. How did that happen?" And they give them the gospel, and they get saved. And they did this prayer evangelism thing. And through that, it also released revelation about spiritual mapping. How many of you know what that is? Man, we batting 1,000 right now. Spiritual mapping is understanding ruling powers. Ephesians talks about powers and principalities and rulers. There's a hierarchy in the demonic. In Mark 9, Jesus said, "This kind comes not out but by prayer and fasting." Well, when he says kind, let me ask you, what kind of fish did you catch? A king salmon. Amen. I prophesy the king's coming back. I declare that I don't care what the ecologists say. I prophesy a king salmon run in Alaska in Jesus' name. Man, that's crazy faith right there, but I said it because there's so much evidence that that'll never happen. Well, you've outfished it. They're all dead. Well, not unless God breathes on it. If God can make a virgin pregnant, he can bring king salmon back to Alaska. And then give us all permits and allow us to catch them. Like, stop all the corrupt fishing. Deal with all of that, oh God. Where are we at? Prayer evangelism, and I'm fasting. I got the excuse. Spiritual mapping. So this kind, thanks. This kind. How many of you know the Joneses? These are some of the finest people I know. Great evangelists, great pastors, and they're helping a church up in Houston. And yeah, they're preaching up there on Sundays. One of the greatest preachers right here. We have the same Heavenly Father and barber. But yours is like polished. Dang. You grease that thing, or is that like the anointing? It's come on. We're gonna go to like midnight. What are you talking about? Spiritual mapping and principalities. Thank you. So I'll just illustrate it this way. When I visited Kahului, which is a city in Maui, I went door to door and knocked on doors. I got spit on in my face, which is a whole other story. But I noticed when I would go door to door that there was like a spiritual environment of every single neighborhood. And I started noticing a certain heaviness. I'm not racist, okay? But I started noticing a particular kind of heaviness over these Japanese homes. Well, how do you know they're Japanese? Well, you can tell. How can you tell? Because the home is immaculate, extremely clean, extremely tight edges, or you have a gravel, you have, what does it call that? Gravel, those gardens, those pebble gardens and stuff. And they have these little, I don't know what they are, these little demon shacks that they have out front. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And it's just everything is super clean and tight. There's no weeds in the lawn. Everything is extremely organized. It has this simplicity about it. And you can tell it's a Japanese house. Now, maybe they were renting as somebody else and a Japanese person owned it, but it's clearly a Japanese house. And you can tell Filipino houses. They're massive. They're like mansions. They live together and they add on and they do that. It's just unique. Now, I'm just, what are you guys laughing about over there? Some Filipinos. So you can, when you cross over, you can begin to sense or feel something going on, and the Lord can reveal to you a particular bondage that might be in that house. There are cultural bondages. Nations have bondages. There's ruling power. Prince of Persia is over Persia. When you think about Germans, what do you think about? Well, you might say Nazi, but there's other things about Germans that are amazing. They're very detailed. The engineering is amazing. Think about the Swiss. Think about different cultures. Now, what culture do you come from? Now, you don't want to take this and then nail it down and say, well, that's who I am and that's what I've got going on. But be aware that there are powers and principalities and rulers, and through prayer, he can show you ruling demonic entities in regions. Now, you got to be careful because it's discernment. And I remember running up the mountain of Mo'o on Molokai after a 40-day fast. And I'll never forget what Dr. Morocco said, which I already knew, but he wanted to make sure his little Pastor Daniel didn't get his butt kicked. You call the devil out for a fight, you will lose. Please hear me. You have no authority out of yourself. So what you're doing, well, I can tell you stories of missionaries, all kinds of, you want to hear them? I got to try to finish one story at a time. It's 8:35. But apparently I have 23 minutes left on the clock. Then I'm not going to obey it, but I'm going to land this thing. I'm running up the mountain. I had a Nextel phone. Pastor Karen and the children, Pastor Karen and little Danny and little Hannah were back at the house, and they worshiped the whole time that I ran up this Mo'o on a 40-day fast to fulfill a vision that God had given me. And we did that. But while we're running up, I got Dr. Morocco on the phone. My mother was at the base of the mountain interceding and waiting for, do you remember that, Mom? It's a powerful time. Remember that. Hallelujah. And he said, Pastor Daniel, listen to me. I said, I am. He said, no, listen to me. And so I stopped. I'll never forget what he said. You are not doing anything but enforcing the finished work of Jesus. Repeat after me. Because Molokai was a very dark island. It was where they had trained all their kahunas. It was an incredible amount of witchcraft. It had more homosexuality per capita than anywhere else in Hawaii. Had more teenage suicide and transsexuals and transvestites than anywhere else in Hawaii per capita. Number one in welfare per capita, number one drug addicts per capita. This place had a level of darkness, and only 7,000 people there. And all these heiaus everywhere. It was the place where they sent, I mean, how can I say it in the howly way? The witch, witch doctors were trained there. Okay. So I'm a pastor there on the church, and we had had a church there, and other pastors had had some horrifying experiences. And so somehow I fell into a 40-day fast. It was just like God called my name, like Ananias. And so he says to me, repeat after me. And I said, I have no authority in and of myself. I'm enforcing the finished work of Jesus. I want you to say that. I have no authority in and of myself. I'm enforcing the finished work of Jesus. Now understand, you have authority, but it's delegated authority. It's authority given to you by the finished work of the cross, by the finished work of the blood. He led captivity captive. This is like spiritual warfare here. It's so important. Go ahead and text away and stay broken if you want to. So distracted, can't hear something to save your life and your whole family. So you're just going to go ahead and TikTok away. Good luck. I don't believe in luck. Well, that's not how God blesses. I break that distraction. Now that I've offended you, just stay in your seat. God will help you. It's obvious not over here. It's over there. Lift your hands to Jesus. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Can I have some keys to bring some comfort to those who've been offended? Minister Heidi, you're able, right? Go for it. I will finish this message sometime during the millennial reign. I'm a finish it. It's very important that you understand principles of spiritual warfare, because if you get all big and bold and begin to call out the devil for a fight, you will get your tail kicked. But by the blood, by the delegated authority, the finished work of Jesus, I'm his. Adopted, I'm grafted in, I'm washed in the blood. I have authority that when I speak the word, it's God speaking through me. I'm cleansed from the former things, now used for noble purposes. And I would highly advise you don't move forward in spiritual warfare while you're still smoking weed. I just thought I'd throw that in. You're smoking weed and you think you're going to move in authority. No, you're going to get smoked yourself. You have to be right before God. You're like, what about the sins I don't know about? Don't worry about it. Just when they come up, repent. Repentance is a lifestyle. And I'm telling you, God is going to raise up an army of intercessors out of this place. He's already done it. I see 120 people gathered in morning prayer, praying, fasting, maybe even tomorrow, who knows? All it would do, about half of you to come and it would be hit. But it's not just prayer. It's not just showing up. It's contending. It's believing. It's praying with insight. It's praying with authority. It's praying with a boldness. The reason we were able to stand here tonight is that there's been a blow that's been brought to the King of the North, as Perry Stone said when he was here. The King of the North has been dealt a mighty blow, but it ain't over. It's not over any more than the Prince of Persia, who was bound by Gabriel, and Daniel, who set his heart to fast and pray. It wasn't dealt with 100% then. The only time it's going to be 100% dealt with is when it's over. And the devil is thrown in the lake of fire. Then it'll be over, but it's not over until then. And so you contend. To my Indian churches, there's powers and principalities. You've got to get a hold of your God-given blood-bought right and begin to execute judgment. Psalms talks about that. This judgment he's given his saints, his holy ones. Hagios, holy one. Bump your neighbor and say, are you a saint? And then you should say, yes, I am. A saint is someone who's made holy. Now, when you understand ruling, and you see that by besetting sins, you can see, if I say Vegas to you, not Vegas is experiencing a release of God's power, but if I say Vegas, I mean, you might think immediately greed, and you're like, buffets. I think buffets when I think of Vegas. But You see Vegas. I mean, the first thing I think about is corruption and gambling. So you don't necessarily have to have the name of that thing. You don't need to know its name. That's some erroneous teaching that people have brought. You need to know the name of the demon so you can take authority because you have his name. And then they quote that scripture where Jesus comes and he says, we are legion, for we are many. And they take that scripture and they make this big statement about it. It's great if you know the name, but demons lie. So it tell you its name and it could be lying. It's irrelevant. You have his name. Let me say it again. You have his name. You exert your authority, your delegated authority, your blood-bought, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, I pray, authority, and you make that thing go in the name of Jesus. You plead the blood, you declare the blood, and you forcefully evict demonic intruders. When you drive home tonight, take authority over every slimy, nasty devil that's on your street. And maybe you have one in your house. I don't know. Let the Lord speak to you. What an unusual night. Lift your hands to Jesus. I'm raising up. I prophesy again. I don't feel that's done in my spirit. It comes back. I prophesy again. An army of intercessors that can rightly divide the word, that understand spiritual authority, that understand spiritual warfare, that understand the principles that are not even taught in church anymore. I pray, raise up an army from this place. Raise up an army of intercessors. Raise up an army of people who know how to bind and how to loose, how to worship, how to sing, how to live holy and pure, to exert your authority to see the kingdom of God put on display. There's no devil in hell, like I said in that video, there's no devil in hell that can stop you. Only you can derail. Only you can abort. Only you can undermine the plan of God. The devil can't touch me when I'm under the blood. He runs. I wake up. I. It's because, it's him. He understands. He's washed in the blood. That's that guy that understands his delegated authority. Oh, God. Listen, I've gotten outside of that. It is terrifying. I mean, to get outside of the authority of God and begin to move in spiritual warfare, if you have any discernment at all, it's like you're standing out in the public square and somebody rips all your clothes off and you're naked. He's like, I mean, you just do everything you can to cover up because you have no help. You get over into arrogance and you get over into pride and you're in big trouble. So don't just pull out all your little six shooters unless you make sure you do have them. You gotta live holy, you gotta live pure. What an unusual night, but I feel the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands to heaven one more time. Hallelujah. I call forth that army of intercessors. I call forth an army of evangelists, those who will go stirred by faith, stirred by a burden for your people. I call forth those like Minister Tommy. I call them forth. You bring them up, raise them up, and not just for Alaska. Lord, for other nations, raise up. I see a new wineskin again. I see it. Oh, and I hear the Lord saying, son, you're a part of bringing it. I'm like, okay. I see a new wineskin for missions. God, show us that. How do we release more people? How do we see more release of your kingdom in the nations of the world?
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.